Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of Paddock Pass, the podcast where we talk all things motorsport. I'm your host, Evie Spencer, an aspiring motorsport journalist from the UK, and you can follow me on TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Evie Spencer Motorsport. Make sure to follow my socials and this podcast for lots of motorsport content. Hope you enjoy! Okay, so today I'm here with Zach. Zach, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm Zach. I'm an F1 Kids presenter or F1 Juniors presenter. I'm also a Carter, I'm only 12, and London-based, actually.
So, quickly, let's start off. So, how did you start in motorsport?
So, it started off, actually, quite funnily enough, it's hard to explain. I went down to Daytona, which I know a lot of people probably go down to in Sandown Park in Surrey. And I went for a race out, shout out to a guy called Daryl. Great, he started my career off and went down there. I did a few laps around in their little Bambino carts, which is basically only a 6 to 8 year old cart. So they were really little. I was the quickest kid that they'd ever seen at that track. So yeah, that's how I started off. And then the journey slowly crept on. So yeah, that was it.
Lovely. So how did you get involved with like competing outside, like in outdoor karting? How did that come about from that point?
Yeah, so obviously there's two forms of outdoor karting. There's the corporate karting, which is not your own car. It's the provider, Daytona or Team Sport, they provide the karts for you. So that there's that form of racing for people who'd like to get into that. That's a bit cheaper. That's just you arrive and drive. And then there's obviously the team driving, which is an owner car. You own your own car and it's a lot more expensive, but it's much faster. And yeah, into that, I think once you get a good enough level at corporate karting, winning the championship maybe at the certain track or something like that, then you might want to get in contact with a team. You can do this by where you search up teams for Rotax or X30. They're the two main categories in karting. And then you can get in contact with a team and just go for a test day. That's how you get involved in proper owner kart driving.
So how is your season going so far?
It's been great. I mean, I have many words to explain it, but it's been enthralling, I'll say. It's been the best year of my life. Obviously, getting the role as an F1 junior / F1 kids presenter, presenting alongside Braden Bent, Scarlett Archer, Chris McCarthy, ex-driver, commentator as well. It's been brilliant. And karting-wise, my season has also been very good. I've taken the step up into Junior Max. Unfortunately, the Minimax category has been scrapped. So I had to go up early in Junior Max. As I said earlier, I'm only 12 and most of the Junior Max drivers are 14, 15, some 16. So it's been a really good year. Got some really good results, top fives and things like that. So yeah.
And whereabouts do you
drive? So I drive all over the country, as I'm sure you know. You drive mainly at Wilton Mill, which is a track in Northampton. You drive at PFI, which is probably the best track in the country, which is up in the north of England, not convenient for us. We're London based. And that's actually it's a great point, isn't it? There aren't many tracks that are down in London, are there?
I know there's none. It's
no,
really weird.
Yeah, it's really hard for my parents as well, who take me all over the country. But yeah, Wilton Mill, PFI, and then there's some Cotswold based tracks in Shenington. So yeah.
Lovely. So how do you balance like your school life and normal life with karting? Because we all know motorsport life is very difficult and very busy.
Yeah, it's quite ironic. It's like people think when you do motorsport, you don't go to much school. I actually go to one of the top 10 schools in the UK. So work-wise, I'm always having to catch up. If I miss one day, I'm having to, obviously on the day it's so tiring, and then on the weekend I'm driving, sometimes on a Friday I'm driving, so it's hard to balance it. But the school have been really helpful, and yeah, it's just you've got to find the balance. If you're not enjoying karting, if you're going on a Friday dreading going back to school, if you're not enjoying it, then you've got the balance wrong. You need to cut back. But if you're enjoying it, you're still keeping up with your schoolwork, it's good. And that balance is a really fine line. So yeah.
So So you do Sky F1 Kids. So what is it like being a part of that?
It's brilliant. Like I said earlier, presenting and commentating alongside someone like Chris McCarthy or Braden Benn, it's just a dream come true, really. And to be recognised in real life is also a dream come true, because sometimes you'll go into a restaurant and someone will say, "Can I get a picture? Are you Zach from F1 Kids?" It's brilliant to see that it's really got out there and it's really been reached to the whole of the F1 community. I'm hoping people are enjoying it as well. So it's been great, and Sky F1 Kids has been great from the Sky team, from F1 themselves. A feature between Sky and F1, Stefano Domenicali, has been brilliant as well. So it's great to be in the world of F1.
Perfect. So you went to Hungary and Abu Dhabi this year, is that correct?
We went to Hungary and we did Singapore and Abu Dhabi from UK.
Ah, okay. So what was Hungary like? Like being in the paddock, what was it like?
Hungary it's hard to explain, because it was obviously the first time me or any of the presenters have ever been within the F1 paddock. And it's crazy to see the drivers are brushing past on your shoulder. Yuki Tsunoda's quickly getting through the traffic. It's also crazy to see that some drivers have their own pathways, and Max Verstappen will be walking between the two team motorhomes and he'll get attacked by fans trying to get a picture with him. So it's great to be in the paddock. It's tiring, and we weren't expecting it. We didn't know it. It's not just presenting mentally is tiring. Physically, we're going from the cabin where we would stay all the way down to the other end of the paddock, and it's about a mile and a half we had to walk up, down every day. So it is great, and it is a great experience, but it's more tiring than people think.
Yeah, I did not know that about that. It was like a mile and a half. That's actually crazy.
It is crazy.
I think when you look like on TV, it doesn't look that big. So what is it like interviewing people like Lewis Hamilton, George Russell?
It's nerve-wracking when you actually interview them. It's great. And after, you think, wow, how did I get that? And that was brilliant. Why did I ask that? It was at the time, your nerves take over, the adrenaline level is high, and it's not as though you're preparing the question, asking them, like holding that card out, but you kind of just go along. And the drivers are really great. They've have massive amount of PR training, so they really know how to treat the kids well. And especially George was brilliant to talk to. Lewis, my favorite driver of all time, was great to talk to as well. So, and Sebastian Vettel, actually, it was crazy to see that when I went to Silverstone to interview him about his McLaren that he had bought off, I don't know where, but it was from Ayrton Senna. He came up to me and was like, "So you're the presenter, you're interviewing me today. How are you? What do you do? What do you do in karting?" And I was talking to Sebastian Vettel. It's out of this world, to be honest.
I bet that's just surreal, because it's crazy when you see these people and you're just like, oh my God, they're actually like real people and they're talking to me.
Yeah. Because you don't expect F1 drivers to be so friendly or that. But Seb walked in with his wife and his baby in his hand. So, yeah, it really is. They are normal people. And that's what people need to get a grasp of. It's you're talking to Sebastian Vettel. It's not just Sebastian Vettel. It's a normal family man. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's so lovely. So what is your favourite part about doing the media side of racing?
I think the access that you get is very underviewed. It's not seen that the media gets so much access. We see the Drive to Survive series, we see Sky, obviously, but we're talking to the drivers, we're interviewing. Sky getting these interviews with the driver, and being on that media side is so great to be able to, as you see, my favorite, like just like this is like Matt Baker's podcast. He's talking to some of the drivers, he's talking to Martin Brundle. It's just cool to see that those drivers aren't just in the paddock, they're not just driving the car, they're not just F1 drivers. They do talk to the media, and the media side of racing is really where you get to see it all.
I love that. And I think as well, with that being what I want to do, I think I've, like on my social media, that's quite known that I really want to be like a presenter. Yeah. And I just think That's so cool. And I think once you're in there with Sky F1 kids, I bet that's just awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's great that I'm already involved in the F1 world. Obviously, for me, I want to be a driver and maybe a presenter as well. But because you see that with Karen Shandock, Anthony Davidson, all these former drivers, they are presenters as well. So it's a thing that you have to balance the karting life, the presenting life, but it's great to be within F1 and within talking to people that do know Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton as well.
So what is your biggest achievement so far? Let's first off start on the media side.
I feel like my biggest achievement has probably been, I don't know, I interviewed Lewis and that was a great thing to do. But I think altogether sitting in Lewis's car and sitting in Sebastian Vettel's car, those combined were my biggest achievement. Yeah, I think that is it. Yeah. Sitting in Seb's car, sitting in Lewis's car, those were my biggest achievements because it's crazy that you're firstly sitting in an F1 car. No one would expect to ever have that in their lives unless they wanted to be an F1 driver. And then you're having four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel tell you how it works, tell you how the seat is positioned for how they fit in the car. Having seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton explain every button on the steering wheel. I feel like that's my all-time achievement with that.
Sounds so cool. I mean, that's just a dream for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even if you didn't want to be a driver, it's just a dream. So that's really cool. And then what is your biggest achievement on like the karting driving side of things?
Well, I feel like unluckily this year I didn't get any podiums, which is annoying, but just going up into Junior Max in a really competitive grid, sometimes there's 80 drivers and all of those drivers are top tier as well. The consistency of finishes that I've had, especially when there are grids of 50-ish, I've been in the top 10 almost every time. And obviously people that don't know karting, they don't know racing, they think, oh, how comes you haven't won? How comes you haven't come second? How comes you haven't come third? But really, it's how comes you're not in the top 20? The top 20 is such a hard place to get to. And I feel like that's very overviewed in karting, that it's like people are thinking, oh, that's easy. Karting is not easy. You're driving at 70 miles per hour as a 12 or 13 or 14, or even into your late teens. You're driving at 70 miles per hour, you're wheel to wheel, the cart will flip over just like that. I know that sounds dangerous, but it does happen. And yeah, even a top 20 finish is great. So I think the consistency I'm starting to get now, as I'm starting to come to the end of the season, top 10 finishes basically every time is my real karting achievement.
I think that's really good. And I think I would say Junior Max is one of the most challenging categories of karting, like in the UK. Like I think it's very, very difficult. I feel like Rotax is quite popular compared to X30. I think X30 is also quite popular.
Yeah.
But I'd say I see more Rotax everywhere. And I think it's difficult because
these
people are hungry for wins and you have to keep performing in every qualifying, every race, everything.
And the grid is ruthless as well, right? It's like you've got drivers of 50 and none of those drivers are just going to let you gun past. They're, every one of those drivers is going to try and fight you. So, yeah, as you're saying there.
Yeah, I think the amount of crashes as well that you see, it's scary. Like watching on the sidelines, it's super scary. Like I could never do it, but I think it's really inspiring. I think just getting in that car and like finishing the race is inspiring, but it's really good that you've got in the top 10 and top 20 loads. So that's a really good achievement. So what are your plans for the near future?
We'll have to see. I think karting wise, it will be British Championships. That's the top of the line when it comes to racing. I don't know what it is yet, but the British Champs will probably be my aim. Top 15 in the British Champs will be absolutely incredible. So that's what I'm trying to do karting-wise. And then presenting-wise, well, there's a whole other world to come. I don't know. I've not been told. I don't know. I'm not an insider when it comes to that. So we'll see. Will F1 do it again? Hopefully. But yeah, until then, I think they will. So
I think F1 Kids, I've seen it everywhere. Like, loads of my friends are like, oh my gosh, like they don't even watch F1, but they've heard about F1 Kids. So it's definitely one of those things that's like really popular and it's doing really well. Like if Sky F1's on and Sky F1 Kids on, I prefer F1 Kids because I feel like it's more of a fun take on F1. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
and
I think it's really good.
yeah, I think it's like you said, it's a fun take on F1, but then you get the information that you need, but it's explained out in a way. And for the people that don't watch F1 and think, oh, I don't want to watch F1 because it's so hard to watch, and these commentators are constantly charring about overtaking and DRS, and what does that mean? What does ERS mean? What does oversteer? What does understeer? The F1 Kids broadcast, really, for the people that don't know, explains all of that. And it's not so tiring on your mentally and on your mind. It's not like, oh, Max Verstappen's going past Charles Leclerc. Will he go on the inside? Or is he going to get oversteer? Oh, he spun out here. So it's for the people that want a slightly calmer, a slightly more relaxed, a slightly more fun way, like you said just earlier, a fun way of taking it. I think F1 Kids is great. And I think if we can make it as good as possible, that's what I aim for all of us.
And I think it definitely makes F1 very accessible for everyone as well, which I really love.
Yeah. Well, the access of, like you said there, the accessibility for the people that don't have the time really to watch F1 for the whole race. Because if you don't understand F1, you tune in halfway through, you're not really going to understand what's happening. You're going to think, who's this, Max Verstappen? But if you join halfway through in the F1 Kids broadcast, you're going to, it's a slow pace and it can be fast paced, but really you're going to understand what we're saying. It's not a mind-boggling sport when it's explained with us. So yeah, I hope for the people that did watch it, they did think that as well.
Yes, and I watched it and I thought it was great. So I think that message has definitely come across. So what is the dream?
F1 driver. I think that's the top of the list. If that doesn't happen, then I'd say F1 commentator. But we see people, like I said earlier, Karun Chandhok, Anthony Davidson, Martin Brundle. They were drivers. They were involved in motorsport. So if I can be involved in motorsport, maybe even a team boss, that would be great. And if I can still drive, maybe in a GT championship in the UK, that would also be great. So driver at the top, F1 presenter / commentator, and then third, GT racer.
I love that. I love that there's a list as well and that you have them ranked on what you want to do. I think that's really good. And it shows drive as well. And I think that's really inspiring. So who are your motorsport heroes?
I think I've said it enough time on screen. It's Lewis Hamilton, number one. I think the way that he's affected the sport and how he's just affected, not just through his championships, but overall, he's got his Mission 44 for underprivileged children as well. So it's, for Lewis, he's the number one. Second, I'd say, is Sebastian Vettel. He's one of my heroes. I'm so lucky to meet him. I feel like his persona, his way of speaking, his overall family man-ness is what really draws me to him as my second. And then third, I love Lando Norris and George Russell, two of the fun new British drivers. And I think overall in motorsport, they are my real heroes and dream people to meet. And I met George, I met Lewis, I met Seb. Didn't meet Lando, hope I can in the near future. But yeah, that's it.
I think what you said about Lewis Hamilton, I say this all the time. I'm one of the biggest like advocates for like, I love Lewis Hamilton, but I think he's so inspiring, and the way he's used his like fame through F1 and he's used his like almost power to like change the world for good, really, I think it shows that like these people aren't just here to race, like they are here to do a good job because they have power, these people.
Yes.
And I think that's really inspiring.
His platform is what Lewis does the best out of all the drivers. I think he really promotes the upbringing of children. As he said to me, if you are driving constantly and you're at such a high level but you don't go to school, then you're not going to be a good driver, because a non-intelligent driver is not a good driver. An intelligent driver is a good driver. So he's a massive advocate for that, as he didn't go to school for a couple of years and he really fell off mentally, because if you've not got that mental state of mind where you can get through things, it can really affect your driving. So Lewis is the main man for promoting that as well.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes him different as well. And I think that's really inspiring. So that's a good list of motorsport heroes. It's great. So my last question, and the question I ask everyone, is if you could get a paddock pass to any race in the world, where would you go?
That's a great question, actually. I'd say I've got a very, very, very boring answer to that, but I've also got a very exciting answer to that. So I'd say my number one would be Silverstone, even though it's in the UK, it's cold, always it's raining a lot of the time. The track is firstly brilliant. The access that the fans get to the track and just the whole backing of that circuit. We've now got a kart circuit there as well. It's great to see that Silverstone is really the hub of Formula One, the hub of all racing around the world, not just in the UK. So I'd say if I got the paddock pass to Silverstone, that's where I'd be most happy. Yeah. And I'd say, again, to spice it up, Imola. Imola is always cold and wet, but I think it's such a good track. And the way that the drivers are always, it's so much closer at Imola, I always feel. We didn't get it this year on the calendar, unfortunately, due to the events that had happened there. But I'd say if I could get a paddock pass to Imola and it wasn't raining and it was sunny, I would absolutely love that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Silverstone, like, as you say, like, everyone's going to say that, but it is an iconic track and it's been there pretty much since the start, maybe even since the start. But
yeah, it is. I think it's the first track that we've ever had in the UK that sported Formula One racing. Obviously, we haven't got any others in the UK and we have a couple in America. So maybe we can get Brands Hatch involved. But yeah.
I think that would be really cool. I think I've never been to Brands Hatch personally. I think we're going to try and get there next year. I think it will be really good. And yeah, I agree with that. Why do you think we should have another one in the UK? Explain more.
I'd say it's, if we've got races like Las Vegas, Miami, Kota, if we've got all of those in America, why don't we have more in the UK? I know the UK is a much smaller country and we don't have quite the facilities that we do in America. So for a national side for people that are planning F1, I can see that they probably wouldn't get the same amount of fans at the track, which might dull down just the atmosphere at the track. So I don't know, maybe that's a reason, but also I feel like we'd get more fans watching, because if we've got another British track, I feel like we get more fans from all over the world watching, because Silverstone, everyone watches Silverstone, not just people that like F1. You see people that aren't into F1, maybe into football, maybe into rugby, but it's just everyone knows, oh, you're going to Silverstone, because Silverstone hosts a lot of events and so does Brands Hatch. So I feel like it would be great if we could get another British track involved.
I agree. And I think Britain is probably one of the most, like, well, where the most F1 fans are. I think the concentration of F1 fans here is definitely a lot, like, larger than America and places like that.
Yeah, I think, like you said there, the concentration and the focus of F1 fans in Britain is more than any other place in the world. And to see all of those fans coming to Silverstone, there are over 500,000 fans that go to Silverstone. I mean, that's a mind-boggling number. But if we could get that across more of the races in the season, because we don't always get that higher level. We don't get that in America, even though it is such a large country. If we could get that amount of fan, it's almost, I don't know how to explain it. If we could get that amount of fans watching a sport and supporting the drivers, it will really take F1 to another level in terms of a sport. It will promote motorsport, how motorsport enthusiasts would love to promote it. So yeah, if we could get, like you said, if we could get the concentration of fans in the UK to come to different tracks as well, it would be great.
I totally agree with all of that. And I think that was a really interesting point to end off on. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
It's been great.
Thank you for listening to the Paddock Pass podcast with me, Evie Spencer. Make sure to follow this podcast for more episodes and head over to my socials for more motorsport content.